house of your Walt Disney World vacation.
Our top six hopes for Star Wars Land. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 93 of the World of Walt podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of October 9th, 2016. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans. Whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Today, the podcast is sponsored by Ear to Their Travel. If you're planning a trip to any Disney destination, give Phil at Ear to Their Travel a call. Phil is a former Disney cast member, so he really knows how Disney works. He can help you plan all the details of your next vacation at no extra cost to you, while making sure you get the best deal on your trip. You can reach Phil at eartotheirtravel.com. Almost 4 years ago, something big happened in the Disney universe. On October 30th, 2012, Disney announced plans to acquire Lucasfilm, the owner of the Star Wars franchise, for a cool $4 billion. While Disney had a partnership with Lucas for many years before that, now Disney owns Darth Vader and R2-D2. Beyond the blockbuster Episode 7 from last Christmas, Disney has some big plans for Star Wars, including an entirely new land in Disney's Hollywood studios. Today, we're going to take a look at our top six hopes for Star Wars Land. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome someone who owns both a red and a blue lightsaber, the owner of Ear to Their Travel, and an all-around nice guy, Phil Gramlich. Phil, welcome back.
Herb, you must be looking in my stash at home, man. You're right. I do have both of those. You know what's really funny, and thank you for having me. It's nice to be back on. But you know what's really funny is when I ran the Star Wars Dark Side Half Marathon last year, I got to the expo to pick up my race packet, and there was this huge wall of lightsabers, and I wasn't dressing like a character, but I did have a cool Darth Vader Star Wars shirt to wear and a hat. And I saw the red lightsaber. I'm like, I got to get it. Like, definitely have to buy one.
Yeah.
And the line was so long that I didn't get one. I should have. I didn't run with a lightsaber, but I should have.
that's something that'd be a lot to carry along a marathon.
And people do, though. You had to see some of that. I saw somebody dressed up like a TIE fighter. Like, literally had, the old school, sandwich board kind of thing that you put over your shoulders.
Yeah.
It was like that, but it was a TIE fighter on either side.
Wow.
It was huge.
Wow.
Yeah, so people are committed, man. They get really, really into the Star Wars stuff.
Do you think he trained at home with that, running through his neighborhood with that sandwich board on?
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be awesome? You know what's crazy, too? I'm sorry. I'm going to go completely off the rails here already. But a couple years ago, I did the Walt Disney World Marathon, and there was a guy who ran the entire race. He was dressed as Dick Van Dyke's character, Bert, from Mary Poppins. He ran the whole race with a tuba. Like a tuba that he played as, like, he'd be running and he would play the tuba. It was insane.
He did the marathon with a tuba?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. It might have been the half. Don't quote me on that. It might have been the half.
Yeah.
But it was one of the two. And he wasn't slow. Like, I remember passing him a few times along the course, and then he would pass me. And I'm like, this guy's running with a tuba and he's passing me. There's something wrong. Anyway, sorry to take that off the rails. We didn't get going yet.
He gets bonus points for both creativity and endurance. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, really? It's awesome.
All right. Well, before we get back to Star Wars, the warm-up question for today is, what is your favorite buffet at Walt Disney World?
All right. Can I give you two or do I have to give you one?
Oh, Phil, come on. Yeah, you can.
All right.
Two. That's
all right.
Fine.
All right. Quickly, my second favorite is the Tusker House. Breakfast with Donald, Safari Donald and stuff over in Animal Kingdom. I just love that because my kids love it, and it's a lot of fun. But my favorite buffet is 1900 Park Fair for dinner and it's not even about the food. The food is good there. I often tell my clients to pick this one over Cinderella's Royal Table simply because of the cost, because you save a lot of money if you go with 1900 Park Fair over Cinderella's Royal Table. It is a buffet. The food is very good, but the character interaction is what makes it, because it's Cinderella, Lady Tremaine, the Wicked Stepsisters, and Prince Charming. And I'll tell you what, for my money, the interaction with those characters is one of the best character interactions anywhere in Walt Disney World. I love it. My kids love it. My kids love getting joked with and people who are sarcastic. So the sisters are awesome, and Lady Tremaine is just evil, and she's not nice to the kids, which makes it great for me. It's so much fun. So, yeah, I'd say definitely 1900 Park Fair is my favorite.
And if you go there, hope that you have a view of a table with a nine-year-old boy, because the two evil stepsisters will set him up for a big smooch. And every kid I've seen who has had that done has turned red and then smiled, and then the table cracks up, and it's hilarious. I hope they still do that, because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, they do. They do it, and then the kid wipes his face off for like 20 minutes after they walk away.
Yes, because he's got these two big lip prints on his cheeks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So mine, I would go a little off the beaten trail to Trail's End over at Disney's Fort Wilderness, or Fort Wilderness, yeah. So Trail's End is one of those things that really a lot of people don't know about. You've either got to take a bus back to the settlement, or you have to be staying there. But it's got a great variety of really high quality food. It's a very good price, and probably because it's one of those things that you're not just going to walk past it. You have to kind of seek it out. So for folks who have not yet tried Trail's End, especially if you're around the campsites, definitely check it out. I think it maybe plays second fiddle, so to speak, to the Hoop-De-Doo. But if you've already seen the Hoop-De-Doo, check out Trail's End. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love that one too. It is tough because you have to, you know, take the jet ski and then the monorail and then the Jeep to get over there. But no, it is. If you're staying at a Magic Kingdom resort, it's really actually not that hard to get to it all. You just take the boat right over from the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
But it does play a little bit of second fiddle to Hoop-De-Doo, but they have like the ribs there and the fried chicken, which are from almost the same kitchen as Hoop-De-Doo. It's just, I mean, there's no show, of course, but the food is excellent. I love the ribs, the fried chicken, anything barbecue in there is awesome.
Yep.
So yeah, that's a great pick.
Thanks. All right, good. Now that I'm hungry.
Yeah, I know, right? I have to record a podcast.
All right, we've got to make this quick. top six hopes for Star Wars Land. Number one to you, Phil.
I've been called worse than number. All right, my first one. This is the one that, as soon as I heard that I was out at the D23 Expo when this was announced, we were waiting. Like, I remember I'm sitting on the floor at the Expo with my computer waiting for this announcement to come through because it was in the next room. I didn't get to go in. I didn't get a ticket. I hadn't gotten there the first day. So we're waiting for this announcement to come through. And then all of a sudden, it was crazy. People's cell phones. Like, it was, everybody started grabbing their phone. And then people started cheering in the halls of the D23 Expo. It was crazy. But when I heard this was coming, my first big thing was that I wanted was, like, total immersion in the land. Right? Like, I want the park that shall not be named. I want to put those parks, Harry Potter sections, to shame. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. I mean, I want to feel like I just got off a freighter, just got off an X-Wing, I just got off a TIE fighter, and I'm in this spaceport and I'm walking around. And it's not make-believe. It's not a land. I want to be in the Star Wars movies, right? And I need the music. I know I'm saying I want realism, right? And then I'm like, well, I need the music. But I do. I want that ambient, like that John Williams music, but not the big score, the soft stuff. Like behind me when I'm walking to the cantina, this is going to sound so weird because I'm such a Star Wars fan. I want the ground to feel like it would. Like, I don't want how they're doing the illuminated sidewalks in the land of Pandora at Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. I want something like that. Like, I want gravel or something. I know that's going to be dangerous, but I want it to feel like I'm on a different planet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the most of all, I want like the cast members walking around with lightsabers, and I want bounty hunters that are just kind of patrolling the streets. I want it to feel like I just landed at the spaceport, and you know, it completely immerses you. That's like the main goal for me.
Yeah, I think that other park up the highway has really set the standard with Harry Potter for really transporting you to a different place. It's something that Disney does well, but I think there are high expectations for what that's going to look like. And in the concept art, it's interesting because things look very tall to me, like tall mountains and tall ships. So not that you're just walking by a two-story building, but you are kind of engulfed by the land. And I think that's probably what they're going for. They know what the competition is up to, and they know, especially with this marquee franchise and with what folks are expecting, they need to deliver big on this one.
Yeah, I agree. It's no time to get the budget cut on this one. They have to go big or go home. The gauntlet has been thrown down by the park that shall not be named. So they have to, they're going to, and I think they will. I think they're it's going to go big. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I've got to imagine that the folks who work on this, it's a passion project for them. They could probably get as many diehard Star Wars fans as they want who would just give their eye teeth to work on it.
Yeah.
And they're probably pouring their all into it right now.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, now I'm getting all excited. Now we have to wait. How long do we have to wait now?
We don't even know.
6 more years. I know.
Yeah. So, all right. Good. Number one, total immersion. And actually, I think that's a point that's probably going to hit on a lot of the other ones that we've got too. And it's going to hit on mine, number two. You kind of touched on it. So one thing they talked about was this idea of characters being everywhere. And I really hope that we see that come to pass. So I know Disney does a good job in costuming, for example. If you see someone who's working the cash register in the Emporium, they're dressed in sort of Victorian garb. But I think they could take it to a new level. So the person working the cash register is, you know, an alien, not just someone who happens to have a uniform that looks kind of Star Wars-ish. So it's my hope that wherever you go, whether it's in a restaurant or a store or an attraction, that we're going to see not just cast members or attendees, people working on registers or servers, but we're going to see characters in all of these places. And that's part of the total immersion that you talked about.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine like shopping, going like Tatooine Traders now, like going shopping and an alien and ringing up your Star Wars t-shirts that you bought.
Yeah.
How cool. You know what? Scratch that. I don't even want t-shirts in the land at all. I just want, I want it to be so authentic that you could only buy stuff that you could buy in a Star Wars universe. That's it.
Yeah, a flux capacitor is what you're going to be buying.
Yeah. Or you'll be bargaining for like Rey in The Force Awakens. You'll be going to some counter. There'll be this big alien guy. And you're trading them stuff to get food for the day. That's what I want.
Yeah.
But no, I love the idea. I think it, you know, if the cast members are truly characters in the Star Wars universe, they don't have to be, you know, completely crazy made up with stuff. I mean, even if they had, I'm thinking like Epcot 1980s spaceship uniform, you know, the rainbow spacesuit uniforms, but something that would just say, you know, like say, hey, this is an alien, you know, like a funky hairstyle or a third eye or something cool like that. I think that'd be great. Just to kind of like, you would really feel like you did like just blink your eye and now you're in Star Wars. That'd be really, really neat.
Yep. Yeah. I do hope that comes to pass. All right. That was number two. Number three, Phil, back to you.
All right. So I know that they said that Disney, when they announced it, said that it's not that the land isn't going to be something from the original movies. It's not going to be Endor. It's not going to be the Death Star or Tatooine. But I understand that it doesn't look like any of those from the concept art to be seen. But I hope that they have little locations, little nods to the original movies in the land. I think they have to almost because, you know, the rumor is there's a Millennium Falcon. Well, not a rumor. That's pretty much confirmed now. There's going to be a Millennium Falcon attraction. So there's one that we can count on. But, you know, I want more stuff. Like, Star Wars came out before I was born, the original Star Wars. But I had all three movies on VHS growing up. And right now somebody's listening going, what is a VHS? I don't know what that is. but I had them all on VHS. I wore those tapes out when I was a kid. So I kind of want, you know, I want to be able to experience some of that in the new land. And then, like, come on, how cool would it be to have a Death Star restaurant? Like you sit down and it's like, you know, the metal and there's stormtroopers walking by. And I think that would be awesome. So that's one thing that I really, really hope they include is just some like touches that, you know, bring back the original movies.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good point. One of the things that I've heard said, and I agree that they really made Star Wars different is it looks like it'd been around for a long time. You know, there's stuff in the corners. There are Mars on the sides of the ship. And I think that's the detailing that Disney's really good at. It's putting those little small things in there that transport you to that different time or place, like the total immersion that you mentioned. And I've got to think that they are sitting there in the conference rooms in Glendale, just watching those films over and over again to see how can we get this detail in here? How can we make you feel like you're in this spot?
I hope so. I hope there's some guy that, you know, when they get the ship out there, there's a guy that's like hired with a bat, and it just walks around and beats it up for like an hour just to make it look like it would in the movie. You know, like that's you're exactly right. Nothing in the Star Wars universe looks new.
Yeah.
Like, except for maybe the new movie that did, like the new in The Force Awakens, a lot of the ships, the base, like the, I forget what the heck it was called. I forget the name of it, but that was brand new. And of course, they destroyed it. Spoiler alert, if you didn't see it, but you're right about that. That's exactly, I didn't even think that was a big part of it. It's everything needs to look like it kind of fits, like it's been there before. You're right. That's very cool.
Yeah. Good. All right. Number three, nods to the original movies. Number four is back over to me. What I'm hoping for, and we may get it, I don't know, is what I'm going to call a breakout e-ticket attraction. So Disney does a good job on their attractions. The Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is great. But it's been a little while since, in my opinion, we've had something that's truly a breakout. So in my mind, Soarin was a breakout. It was a completely new type of ride system, a vastly different experience. And even today is still a wow kind of attraction. The Tower of Terror was a different type of attraction, a breakout attraction, an elevator that went up and then goes forward. No one had ever thought about that. No one had ever seen that before. And so while dark rides in an Omnimover or roller coasters are great, and I think they'll do a good job, I am truly hoping for something that is breakout different, that breaks the mold, that is something we have never seen before and is applied to the Star Wars universe.
That's a great point. I really hope so too. And you're right. The ones that you mentioned, Tower of Terror, I forget now, I can't remember what else you mentioned, but they were different. They had never been done before, something like that. Soarin, again, there was a completely new ride system that Disney came up with and invented. And this is one thing that I really hope they don't do is go the Shanghai route. Like, listen, Shanghai looks like a beautiful park. It looks amazing. One thing that I've noticed in looking at the YouTube videos of the attractions, and I haven't experienced them firsthand, so I can't really say with, you know, absolute certainty, but it looks like a lot of it is screen effects, like 3D screens you drive through. It's not a whole lot of the old-fashioned special effects, real movement, real huge set pieces. And I'm hoping that's not what we get with Star Wars Land. You're exactly right. I want something unique, something that's never been done before. And I hope it's not, all right, you're on the Millennium Falcon, but you're sitting in a chair that spins around and there's different screens you're looking at. I think that's going to leave a lot of Disney people like you and me upset if that happens.
Yeah. And I completely understand why they do that. So, I mean, you can create anything on the screen and it doesn't have to cost $1 billion. Well, it might, but it doesn't have to.
Right.
And you can change it. And people are used to screens, and it really seems to be a trend in the industry. So that other park up the road, even their new King Kong attraction is got some screens going on in it. So I understand why they do that, but I'm hoping for something really unique, really different. So we'll see.
Yeah, you're right. And then, you know what? Speaking of the Kong attraction, I've heard a lot of disappointment with that because people, I mean, that was really super hyped up for a long, long time. And people seem to be like, all right, you've seen a lot of screens, some pretty cool effects, but, you know, we expected more. Even the figure at the end isn't, I think it's less impressive than the original King Kong figure they had. So, you know, I just hope we get, and this is me, right, spending Disney's money. I'm like, yeah, we better get something better than that. But I feel like we, you know, listen, we deserve it. We're Disney fans. We're crazy. We deserve something like that. So
we always want something more.
Exactly.
All right. That was number four, a breakout e-ticket attraction. Number five, Phil, is to you.
Okay. So this one actually kind of goes to a couple of the other ones we already mentioned too. But what they were testing in Disneyland, I've seen YouTube videos again of this, are the free roaming droids. And I can't imagine they created that technology and that idea only to use in the Star Wars launch bay areas. I think that's something that they're thinking about putting in the lands. They're going to have these free roaming, you know, whether they're on wheels or they're like humanoid types of droids roaming around, you know, doing things in the land. I hope, really, really hope we get something like that. I can't, you know, I don't know how they're controlled. I don't know if it's a remote control. I don't know if it's a like a Roomba where it just kind of drives around till it hits something. I don't know. But have you, by the way, did you ever use a Roomba? I had one in my house when we first moved in. Those things are awesome.
Oh, just, yeah. I've got one too.
Oh, my God. They're awesome. Yep. And you can set up like the sensors. That's what I imagine the droid in Star Wars would be. Like you have a sensor that can't leave the land, but it walks around. I kind of want a droid. I want to be like in the lobby of the cantina and I want a droid to come up to me and take my like drink order. And then it goes back to the kitchen, comes back with like my blue milk. And then I can scan my magic band on its head and get, you know, pay for it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool.
That's kind of what I want. And I know, listen, you and I, this is like, you know, blue sky imagineering, pie in the sky kind of thing. But that's really what I want. Like, or, oh, you know those, the little, in Star Wars, the original Star Wars, the little black remote control, like it's almost like a little remote control car that zips around on the floor that Death Star.
Yeah.
They can bring your appetizer to your table. That would be cool.
But hopefully not too close to the floor. So.
No, that's a good point. It would have to be a little taller, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my hope. Free roaming droids. Mark it down, Disney, if you're listening. That's what we want.
That would be fun. So, you know, Disney's got experience in this. So from our much beloved Push the Trash Can to, do you remember the Muppet Labs? I think they had it at Epcot. Yep. So kind of looked like a Segway wheels almost, and it had Beaker and Honeydew there, and they would do this show, and at the end they'd set off streamers, and it was incredible. I hope there are things like that.
Yeah, you know what? What's funny is I sometimes think that I imagine that, and then I look it up in the Muppet Labs, and I look it up, and it was a real thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like Disney puts these things out there, and they have to be super expensive to design, to build, and then they go away so quickly. Like Lucky the Dinosaur at Animal Kingdom, like that was an amazing technology. For people that don't know, it was a dinosaur. Now, it was, you know, a four-legged dinosaur that walked, and it pulled a cart. I guess that's how it kept its balance. I don't know. But it would walk around and interact with people. It was incredible technology. And I felt like it was here one day, gone the next. And those types of technology, like they have the ability to put that out there. I don't know why I do know why we haven't seen more of it, because I'm sure it's super expensive to maintain and to, you know, and I guess it could be a problem if guests touch it or mess around with them but they have the technology. You've seen it. So I hope they can put the droids. Oh my God. I want to get hate mail from Star Wars fans. The droids. I hope they can put the droids out there.
Good. Yeah, me too. Like you say, I think the technology is there. It's probably getting it to a point where it's going to work in the real world and it's not going to break down every day and it's not going to cost $1 million. That's a tall order, but I sure hope we see it.
Yeah, me too.
All right, that was number five. So number six, back to me. You actually mentioned it as a lead-in. So blue milk, I think we are all looking for the cantina and a chance to go in and have some of that. And actually, I think that's going to be a ton of fun. But I am hoping, just like I want a breakout e-ticket attraction, I am looking for some kind of breakout food offering. So that other theme park, which we keep talking about, has its butterbeer. So they came up with something that tied into the story that was really unique and now is making the money hand over fist. And it could be blue milk here, but I'm kind of hoping for something more, because to me, blue milk seems like an obvious choice. And okay, it's milk with blue food coloring in it. You know, maybe they can do something to make it more exciting. But I'm hoping that the folks in the test kitchens over there are racking their brains saying, what kind of unique thing can we make as a signature dish here? And so I think about in episode 7, in the scene that you talked about where Rey trades in her junk for this little, I don't know, whatever it is, piece of bread that turns into a flower, whatever. You know, something like that. A while ago, Disney actually was issued a patent for projected birthday cakes. And so the idea was that if you had a cake on the table, a projector from above could put images down on top of it. And if you take a slice out of the cake, the image could change. So maybe it looked like there was a pool of water projected onto your cake. And then you take a slice out and it looks like the water runs out where the slice used to be. So I think they've been thinking about these sort of things, at least in a basic research sort of way. So I hope that we get a breakthrough. I hope we get blue milk, yes. But I hope we get something well beyond that, that is just going to wow you when it comes to a type of food experience that you can have there.
Yeah, you're right. And so Rey, she pours like the water in the she calls it a portion. I don't know. And it makes like this instant bread. It like instantly like grows and then she eats it.
Yeah.
I saw online, and I know this is a real thing. Somebody figured out how to do it. That, from what I can tell, that wasn't, or from what I read, that wasn't CGI in that scene. That the directors wanted that as real as possible. So I think it was sped up, like they sped the film up. But that, whatever that was, that combination, that was like whatever water, they added water to that mixture and it became bread. That really happened. They just sped the speed of the movie up a little bit to make it look like it was like instant. But that's an actual thing.
Yeah.
So maybe they can do that. Maybe it's something that like they bring out to your table and they put it on your table. It's like your dessert when you first sit down. And they like pour something on it, and during your meal, like your dessert is growing. Like, could they do that? That'd be kind of cool.
That would, yeah.
But when you think about it, there's not a whole lot of eating that goes on in Star Wars movies, right? I mean, you don't see like Han Solo and Chewbacca sitting down in a restaurant and like ordering a drink and an appetizer. So you wonder, like, I think that almost opens it up a little more that they could have. You could turn any set piece into a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not? You could have a Death Star restaurant, Tatooine turkey legs, right? What about, you could do, here's one.
Those are Tauntaun turkey legs, aren't they?
Right. So think about, okay, so they're getting pizza Rizzo in Hollywood Studios, and that, all I think of is the Muppets Take Manhattan when the rats work in the kitchen in the diner. Why not have, this is going to be impossible to do, but again, I'm thinking, you know, pie in the sky here. A Wookiee restaurant where all the servers are Wookiees. And it's like the Wookiee chef comes out to tell you about the meal and all he does is like, rah, rah, explains it to you. And then they bring you your food. And you don't know what you're eating, but hey, that'd be a lot of fun.
That would be a lot of fun. As long as he's got like a full body hairnet, I think. That would be a part of that restaurant.
That would be great. And there could be, I mean, now we're opening ourselves up for all kinds of problems with food allergies, the Wookiees. Yeah, I don't know if that would work out, but that's something I could at least, you know, look forward to.
Yeah. So let it be known, I'm looking for blue milk, yes, but I'm looking for something beyond blue milk. So fingers crossed.
Yeah.
All right. Top six hopes for Star Wars Land. Number one, total immersion. Number two, living characters everywhere. Number three, nods to the originals. Number four, a breakout e-ticket attraction. Number five, free roaming droids. And number six, some sort of food breakthrough. Phil, it was a fun list.
Yeah, Herb, that was a lot of fun. Thanks. Thank you again for having me on. I know I might go over the top a little bit with some of these, but I have a lot of fun with it, and I hope people enjoy it because it's a lot of fun to do.
Me too. And I couldn't tell at all that you were a Star Wars fan, are you?
Yeah, right? I know. It's terrible. I don't want to turn my children into complete Star Wars nerds like me, but my oldest, Alexa, already has the Rey, the actual like official Rey costume from The Force Awakens, and we took, and I think you've had the pictures on your site.
Yeah.
I took her to meet Kylo Ren and Chewbacca, and I mean, she listens. She's a princess girl, and she's a huge Minnie Mouse girl, but I think meeting Kylo Ren and meeting Chewbacca was like the highlight of our last trip for her, and she was wearing her costume, her Rey costume, so yeah, my poor children. They're in trouble.
That picture of your daughter with Kylo Ren is priceless. It is amazing, the look on her face.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we had that. We have actually had that blown up, and we just moved into our new house a couple months ago. We have it hung up right when you walk in our door because we love it too. It's such a cool picture.
Yeah, and I could kind of understand Kylo Ren is a little creepy in that meet and greet.
They did such a great job with that, didn't they?
Yeah.
I just think that the way it's handled, the way it was cast, the character is just, it's phenomenal. And when you go in, my wife was scared. She ran. When we were, you know how he kind of follows you out the door as you walk out?
Yeah.
She looked over her shoulder because she felt someone there, and it was him. And I have the video, and she yells, "Oh my God, he's right behind me." She's like, what the? It's great. They did a great job with it.
Yeah, they did.
They really did.
All right, Phil, thanks again for joining me.
Hey, thank you, Herb. I had a lot of fun.
Once again, for Stiggin' Oopla's Hyperspace Hoopla. Now, please welcome to the stage, Stig and Oopla.
Hello, everybody. Let me hear ya.
Yeah. Yes, today we head out to the sounds of the hyperspace hoopla, and we have made it through the list of the top six hopes for Star Wars Land, but our conversation isn't over. I'd love to hear what you think. Do you have something you'd like to add to the list? You can do that by visiting the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/93, a page that works nicely on tablets, smartphones, and desktops. I'd like to thank everyone who's been in touch with me and invite you to get in touch with me too. A great way to do that is by following me on Facebook. I'm at facebook.com/worldofwalt. If you like today's podcast, I would appreciate it if you would spread the word. Tell your family and your friends about it. To wrap up for today, as always, I would like to give you a heartfelt thank you for spending some of your time with me. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com site, where you can read interesting Disney articles and chat with other folks who enjoy Disney. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that is pretty cool. Thank you so much for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a